The scripture reading for today comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. It is not on page 190 or 191 in your pew Bible. It is on page 187. If you go to 190, that's Thessalonians. So, again, it's on page 187, Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
All right, I'll be reading from the 14th chapter of John. I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
How many of you grew up on the King James Version of the Bible? Yeah, most of us. Were you there when it was written in 1611? King James I of England, King James the VI of Scotland. England, Ireland, Scotland, United. Anyway, he brought together the best scholars and they put together the King James Version. And in that original version, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Do you remember that phrase? Many mansions in my Father's house. That term is a little bit inconvenient today. Mansions are a little bit of a sign of the very, very rich opposed to the very, very poor, all of those. There was an article, was that in Denver, that there was a mansion for sale? Did you see that? It had a 10-car garage. And I read that. I didn't read any further. I got to 10-car garage, and I thought, I could have one garage for metalworking, one for woodworking, one for electronics, one for all the junk. I don't know what fits in any other category. And for about a half a second, I thought it would be fun. Then I thought, think about cleaning all the bathrooms in a mansion that big. I don't keep up with three, you know, or two, or one. I don't keep up with one, truth be known. So mansions, all right. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. That's the New Revised Standard Version. And it reflects on the dwelling places that might be appropriate to all of us. And we all have different choices and selections. Some love living in campers. And you're going to be, I know I'm going to pick on Rich and Susan. They're going next week to the Dakotas, as I understand it, with three grandchildren. So pray for them. They're going to be living out of a camper for that period of time, and it should be exciting and fun and all of that sorts of stuff. And there's the tiny houses movement. Have you seen the tiny houses lately? These are wonderful. And these little tiny houses, and they're built on wheels. I don't understand why that's not called a trailer. But, you know, it's a reinvention. What's new is old and old, I don't know. There is a certain appeal, especially when I'm cleaning house. Tiny houses have a tremendous appeal to me. In Jesus' plan for us, there is a dwelling place. The dwelling place that fits each and every one of us. The one that is most comfortable and perfect for us. Whether that's a large house, that's a ranch-style house in the middle of the Sonoran Desert with the saguaro cactus. Whether that's in a tent in the forest or a log cabin. Whether that's in a missile silo. I could go for that. But God has set aside a dwelling place for all of us. Reservations have been made. We have place. We have a place to lay down our heads from here. It's an awesome, wonderful, and beautiful, and reassuring piece of scripture. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And I go and make a place for you. Moms create dwelling places too, don't they? Sometimes I've always thought that home is where mom is. How many of you kind of think that way, that that's the place, is mom makes home, mom makes house? My mom is gone. I lost her in 2013. So that house has changed some. My sister now has the family house, and it's not the same without mom in it. I have cooked recipes that my mom makes, and they don't taste the same because they don't have mom oils in them. I can do exactly the same ingredients, but it's that mom thing that makes it work. As we lift moms, we want to acknowledge that. Well, I got an email this past week before this Sunday. And a woman lifting, she says, "I detest Mother's Day." Her mother was not a good mother. Some of the mothers she knows are not good mothers. Some of the mothers and grandmothers that are raising kids of mothers that have left their kids, that are not caring for their kids or doing a poor job. So when we lift mothers, we lift the good moms. We lift those moms that have done wonderful jobs, or the wonderful parts that our moms have done, because I'm not perfect. Those of you that are perfect can just keep your hands down, but the rest of us are not perfect either. And our moms weren't perfect either. But they did the best they could, and we do the best we can. And we acknowledge moms, and we acknowledge surrogate moms, and we realize that there are moms that took in kiddos that didn't have a mom. And we recognize dads that had to do the mom job sometimes. So that mom is the job, perhaps, not so much an individual person. But we pause and we celebrate and we reflect on those that loved us and nurtured us and comforted us and disciplined us and believed in us and challenged us and picked us up when we fell down and bandaged our boo-boos, but helped us grow in Christ. Those are the ones that we pause and we acknowledge. And when you think about your moms and you think back on that, you know, that feeling that we have for those wonderful moms, those good moms, whether they're our moms or surrogate moms. I had an English teacher in high school who was a surrogate mom at a pivotal point in my life. And she was awesome. I don't know if she ever knew it. I don't know if I ever told her how important that was, but we acknowledge all of those and what they have done and how thankful we are. And as we pause and think about why they're important to us, it usually isn't an intellectual connection that's being made, is it? It isn't because, oh, I love my mom because she finally helped me understand the quadratic theory. That's just not in there, is it? I told you about pollen, fair warning. My mom graduated from high school. That's as far as she could get before family and kids and everything subverted her possibilities of going on to education. She was quite intelligent, read continuously. My dad, on the other hand, had multiple master's degrees. I've told you a little bit about him. A mathematician, a scientist, a mining engineer, a teacher, certified teacher. There wasn't much that he didn't know that he wasn't excellent at. Electronics was an area that I excelled at that he did not, which was always fun. But mom and dad, here's my very intelligent father and my mother with a high school education. Their connection was not an intellectual one. Dad didn't come home and talk about quantum physics with mom. Dad didn't come home and talk about the current problem they were having with refracting the oil shale distillate in the pilot plant, in the Tosco oil shale plant. But they had a connection that was beyond intellect. And it was beyond just love. Now that's an interesting word, love. We've got to kind of think about it. And in this setting, when we're thinking about moms, well, we love our moms, yes, but we love our partners. And love has a whole different color to it, doesn't it? Love and many shades and differences and variations. And so let's just let love be love and set it aside for a moment. And talk about the connection we have with mom, because it's more than intellectual. It's heart to heart. It's a heart to heart connection that we know. I don't know of an English word that fits that well, and maybe that's why our translation says, "If you believe in God, believe also in me." That's what Jesus said in John 14. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." Now, this is at a time when Jesus was just appearing on the scene and people were trying to figure out how he fit in, and they already knew and understand and worshipped God and had been understood all about that. And so here's a new relationship, and Jesus is trying to reassure them. I think today it's gotten flipped. I think we have a closer relationship with Christ, and many of us want to put God a little ways away from us. God's a little bit scary. God's a little bit disciplinarian. I don't know if your mother ever said, "Wait till your father gets home." My mom never did. She was twice the trouble that my dad ever was. 4'11 and 3/4, and she was full of energy. But as we read this passage in Scripture in John, and Jesus is saying, "If you believe in God, believe also in me," maybe today we need to hear it the other way around. If you believe in Christ, believe also in God. Now, there's a bit of a struggle there because believe is a whole different sort of thing. This argument first, let me get to that. If you believe in Jesus or God, you should believe in the other. That's called the associative principle of theology. There is no such thing. I made it up to fit there, but doesn't it sound like a mathematical proof? If you believe this, then you must believe this. And that's all about intellect and think, and up here, it's all head stuff. And that's the problem with this word believe. I've seen magicians. And the magician will say, do you believe I can do this? And of course you say yes, because they're magicians and you know they'll pull it off somehow. But that's up here. It's not something you believe in your heart. Believing, what's the wrong word? Do you have that slide that we made up there? There's a word. There it is. It's Greek. It's pisteu. Pisteuo. I'll get it right. Pisteuo is how it's pronounced. I know it's Greek to you. But that's the word, and it gets translated as believe. Pisteuo. And I think that we don't have a good English word that defines it better, because it's more than that. It's about an understanding that transcends thinking or convincing. It is a heart-to-heart connection. Let me give you an example, and I might have told this story before. Other airplanes traveling, jet is traveling high above the earth, gets into some turbulent weather. There's a salesman, and he travels in the plane all the time. Next to him is a little girl. She's got the table folded down, and she's coloring like crazy, and she's just coloring away and singing to herself and coloring, and the plane does one of those. Everybody gets a little bit quieter, and then it does a couple of those. Everybody's quieter yet. And pretty soon the pilot's saying, well, we've got a little bit of choppy weather. And they're all going, yeah, I guess so. Pretty soon the plane is dancing around like a bucking bronco, and people are holding on to everything that they can hold on. The stewardesses are holding on, and everybody's just holding on. The little girl's coloring away. Now this salesman's been traveling and flying for years, and he's been on planes, but he's never seen a plane move like this plane's moving. This is disco on, you know, steroids. Finally, they get out of the weather, and the pilot says, well, I think it's calming down a little bit. Salesman looks at the little girl. She has never paused in coloring and singing to herself. He says, were you a little bit afraid when it got bouncy? Nope, she said. You weren't afraid at all? No. How come? She says, my dad's the pilot. See, that's not about belief. And that's not about love. That's about knowing somebody and knowing and being aware of and assured of how they are. Paula had to leave. She has an appointment. It's a long story. You don't need to know. But I'm going to talk about her a little bit. And she knows this because I already talked about her at your sister church. If I suddenly had a police officer arrive at my door and say, yes, we've arrested your wife for animal cruelty, two things would happen. First off, I would fall on the ground laughing, because that's not possible. And the second is I would say, you have got to be absolutely nuts. If there is a critter anywhere, anytime, anyhow, whoever, whatever, Paula, who's this patron saint of animals? Francis? She is the Saint Francine. And this is not something I know because she's proved it. This is not something she's argued or but. This is something I know about her. To the core of her being, heart to heart, I know this about her. That's pisteuo. That's the word. It's not just belief. It's knowing something at a deep level that is so core to you that you know it completely, utterly, unquestionably. That's a connection beyond just belief. As you are connected heart to heart to Christ, be connected heart to heart to God, and be connected heart to heart to one another. In our Christian journey, we celebrate our moms and we celebrate the gifts that they've given us and the ways they have helped us. Anything that's good, anything that's compassionate, anything that's loving, anything that's kind, those are the things good mothers have taught us and brought to us. And out of that, we know heart to heart right things. Jesus has done the same thing. Knowing his heart, we don't believe, but we know what he would be about. When there are questions, when there are legalities, they bring a woman guilty of adultery, caught in the act. And the laws are very clear. The laws are very strict. The laws are very straightforward. And they bring her to Jesus. And heart to heart, we know exactly what he's going to do. He's not going to allow laws to trump love and care and compassion. The law says you shall not be around lepers. You shall have nothing to do with Samaritans. You shall not. And Jesus does not allow those laws to prevent his being heart to heart with those people. Caring for them. Being one with them. He stays with them. We can be heart to heart. And out of that, we can learn how to be heart to heart with others that we are called to be with in our Christian journey. That's where we're supposed to be about. Knowing his character, knowing how he is, understanding his gifts and graces, understanding him heart to heart, pistuo. We respond in Christian kind. May we be blessed with that ability. May we be blessed to be able to offer Christ in that way, heart to heart, to all we meet. Amen.